From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This week, saying, "I don't want to die here with my boots on," Senator Max Baucus of Montana announced that he won't run for re-election next year. The Montana Democrat won election to the Senate for the first time in 1978. He has been chairman of the Senate Finance Committee since 2007, but he was also chairman for a couple of years before that when the Democrats held the majority. Senator Baucus issued a statement saying that not seeking re-election will allow him to devote more energy to overhauling the tax code. And he joins us now from Capitol Hill. Welcome to the program, Senator Baucus.
Well, thank you, Robert.
You said you can spend more energy on tax reform without running. You won 5 years ago with 73% of the vote. Is it really difficult for a senior committee chairman to lead a serious legislative effort and run in the same year?
Well, frankly, campaigns have changed so much each cycle. They're much, much more expensive and have become more coarse, more negative. The Senate over the years, as well as the House, Washington, D.C., have become more partisan, mm-hmm. and that spills over into campaigns. But bottom line, you can't take anything for granted. Believe me, I don't.
So it would have taken up a lot of your time, you say?
Yeah, it would have. There's no question.
When did you exactly decide not to seek re-election?
It's a very personal decision. Mel, my wife and I have been talking about this virtually daily for maybe about 3 months. But the final decision was made about 5:30 Monday evening. That's when it was finally made.
It's about a week after you cast a vote that was one of several that have infuriated many, many other Democrats. You were one of four Democratic senators who voted to kill the expansion of background checks for gun buyers. Most pundits attributed those Democratic votes to political necessity back home, although your Democratic colleague from Montana, Senator Tester, voted the other way. Since you're not seeking re-election, looking back on that, was that a vote of conscience on your part? You believe there should not be an expansion of background checks?
Well, I'm a Democrat, and I'm a very strong Democrat, but I'm a Montana Democrat. And Montana Democrats elect me, but all Montanans elect me. And I believe very, very strongly that when you serve the entire state. So that was the basis for my actions. And I know there's no question in my mind that I was acting according to the wishes the majority of people in Montana.
Were you acting in keeping with your own actual opinion of the question of background checks as well?
I think I should represent my state. After they're the ones who elect me.
Even in conflict?
They're my employers. I'm just the hired hand. I'm the employee.
I'm not hearing you say that you agree with the majority of those Montanans. I'm getting the impression from your answer that you do agree with them.
Okay. No, I agree.
Did you assume after that vote that Michael Bloomberg's group would back a primary candidate against you and make it a very rough
you
primary?
You know, I don't care about it. You know, to be honest, that doesn't even enter my calculus. I don't think about all that stuff. It just does. It's irrelevant to me. You do what you think is right. And for me, what's right is the votes I took, because that's what the people of Montana want.
On health care, which was in the jurisdiction of the Senate Finance Committee, your committee, one columnist summed up your role a couple of years ago, not approvingly this way. He said, "Obama took all of his political capital and let Max Baucus squander it." That was a reference to your attempt over many months to win some Republican support for the bill. In retrospect, was that a waste of time, and is it a cause of regret to you that won those Republicans?
Let's get to the heart of the matter here. The heart of the matter is that I worked for 2 years prior to the passage of that bill because I believe so strongly that it was necessary to get health care costs under better control, to reform the health insurance industry, and to help more people get health insurance. And man, oh man, I worked hard on that because I believed in it. I believed in it very, very strongly. And I also believe that legislation that has broader support is more likely to survive. So I worked hard to get some Republican support for it. And with the president's approval, my gosh, I've met in the White House a couple of times with the president, with mm-hmm. Republicans who are trying to get it passed. And after a while, the Republicans started dropping off. And once I realized Republicans were dropping off for political reasons, then I pushed ahead, got the bill passed. And as you know, it passed the Senate and passed the House without one single Republican vote.
Yeah.
But, man, I worked really hard on it to make sure it passed because I believe in it.
In hindsight, if you'd known there would be no bipartisan support, could it all have happened 6-8 months sooner than it did?
You can't operate by hindsight. You never look in the rearview mirror. You do what you think is best at the time. And at the time, it's very clear to me that a bipartisan bill would have much stronger support and be much better for the country.
On tax reform, you've spoken of working toward a simplified tax code. Tax expenditures are what a lot of ordinary taxpayers think of as deductions. Should they be casualties of a simplified reform tax system?
Well, we should examine them very closely. Some of them are very difficult, but I think it's very important to put them all on the table. That includes home mortgage interest deduction, includes state and local tax deduction, includes charitable deduction. There are a lot there. They've been deeply embedded in the tax code and serve a lot of very important social purposes. But over the years, the code's become so complex, it is, I think, very important to simplify it and help raise some revenue. But we have to find a way to work together. It's very important to me to work together with members of both sides of the aisle.
Legistorm, an online database, according to the New York Times, found that, and I'm quoting virtually here, at least 28 aides who have worked for you have lobbied on tax issues during the Obama administration. And they say that's more than any other current member of Congress can claim. Is your office the epitome of the revolving door that critics of Washington are always complaining about?
Well, you know, I will have been in Congress almost 40 years. And over 40 years, it's logical that I've hired lots of people. And it's only logical when people leave, they seek careers that make sense to them. But I must say this, that they do what they do, and I do what I do. That is, I hold myself to extremely high standard, and if somebody wants to go lobby, that's his or her business, but it has no influence over what I do.
Yeah.
What I do is what I think is what good tax policy should be.
Senator Baucus, you've said you've decided that there is life after the Senate, and you're going to pursue that, I guess, starting January 2015. Will your life after the Senate be back in Montana? Are you moving back to your home state, or will you stay here in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, I'm moving home. That's one of the main reasons for making this decision. This job, which I love, it's the greatest privilege in the world to be representing the state of Montana in the United States Senate. It doesn't get any better than that. But I will have been here 40 years, including the House service, and I'm just hankering to get home. My blood, my roots, my soul is in the state of Montana.
Senator Baucus, thank you very much for talking with us about your decision not to seek re-election to the U.S. Senate after all these years.
Well, thank you, Robert, very much.
It's Max Baucus, a Democratic Senator of Montana and Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee.
This is NPR News.